It is Thursday, the 2nd of August, and this is episode 129 of Digital Outbox. Tearing ourselves away from the 24-odd live channels of the Olympics, here we are, delivering up the next episode of Digital Outbox for you. That's how dedicated we are, aren't we, Ian?
Well, two of us are.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably Henry's excuse this week, is
the Olympics.
Watching the Olympics. I am actually off to the stadium tomorrow, which I'm incredibly excited about. So that's another reason for us to get through as many news stories as we can, as quickly as we can. So here we go. first up, Google News on their Nexus.
Yeah, it's available, so you can buy it. So I sung its praises last week. I noticed friend of the show, Brian, got his through the week and was loving...
Oh, he's got one, has he?
Yeah, he's got one. So he was loving, is it Google Now? So I think that kind of freakishly, you know, nice bit of tech that Google predicts your future and says you're going to Cardiff to watch some, you know, Team GB and all that kind of good stuff. So that's now available, 3 to 5 days. So it's...
They're not that bad, are we?
No, I liked it. And also just something in the queue, which you know, from afar, we didn't really like. Google have now suspended it and said that they want to make it even better. I'm not sure how they're going to make it better, apart from, you know, maybe setting fire to it, but they're going to make it better.
That's so harsh. It was. I don't know why everyone had such a bad thing about it. It was because it's overpriced for what people wanted to pay for it, basically. But it was quite a clever bit of kit.
Overpriced. It was like a underspecced, and even things like that. You can do these social playlists. Nobody wants to do social playlists.
No,
with
you're
you.
Right. You know, but then it
your
was
mate
only,
comes
it,
round and takes over your music collection. And says, no, you will listen to this. No.
You're right, and there were some weird things, which is obviously why they're trying to make it better. But nevertheless, I think it's a bit harsh to slate a bit of kit, which is actually quite clever. It was like a Sonos competitor.
See, when you said you're right?
Yeah, okay, let's leave it at that. Dropbox, they have come out and they have admitted that it did have a security breach. So this is, we talked about this a number of weeks ago now, maybe even up to a month ago. So where people got spammed basically on emails that were unique to Dropbox, and therefore that sparked a bit of talk, and then everyone else kind of chipped in and said, yeah, oh yes, I've been getting spams as well. So Dropbox did come out and say that someone had hacked in, but also they were using passwords from other sites. So where other sites have been hacked, they were trying to use passwords again on Dropbox, which is kind of what people tend to do when they've got a list of passwords. They think, oh, try those emails and passwords. And apparently one of the Dropbox employees had another list of emails in one of their Dropbox folders,
which is a bit odd. And
not odd, but you know.
Well, I think it's a bit odd. I want to know why a Dropbox employee. What's he doing with potentially my email address in his Dropbox account?
Well, yeah, it shouldn't really happen. But you can tell in companies things like that happen. They do happen, and this one got found.
Yeah, I mean. I don't mind so much the old, you know, another site's been hacked and, you know, because people are using the same passwords. What I did object to was I got an email. So Wednesday morning I got an email.
And shock horror.
And did you get one?
No, I don't think I've got one.
Yeah,
not that I've seen it. It's probably been spammed.
So I got one and I actually thought, this is a spammer. This is a spammer just taking advantage of all the rumours. And I went on the Dropbox site and there was no mention of it. And I was like, cock, it's just a spammer, and ignored it. And then a couple other, you know, Engadget, I think, picked up on it, and a couple others started saying that there is emails going out to users who have been affected. I'm like, hold on, that password was unique. I know that wasn't the same password used elsewhere. It was a unique password. And interestingly, one of my mates in Glasgow got the same and his was unique. And I also noticed a few people on Twitter saying, I use a unique password. So I don't know why I'm being asked to change my password.
And that's the reason you're questioning that, is because one of the reasons they said they were sending out these emails was because they were sending them out to people who hadn't got unique passwords, or they didn't think had unique passwords. I'm not sure how they'd know that. But nevertheless, that was the what they said. And clearly that's not quite true. But anyway, I haven't seen that email yet, which I don't know if I'm worried about or actually happy about. But yeah, they did, you know, they're saying they're going to put some more things in place to help with security. So They're going down the route of two-step authentication, possibly by a mobile phone, and potentially also forcing you to change passwords and things like that as well, which is all good security practice and quite important. But things like two-step just make services which are supposed to be invisible and seamless not invisible and seamless anymore.
but we've seen with Gmail hacks and also with things like Dropbox, they're wanting the cloud's the next big thing. I know we've talked about it for years, but they're wanting you to use it more and more. It's got to be secure.
Yeah, at Dropbox obviously have to live or die on their security, and yep. At the moment they're having to work hard to keep themselves in the running. So yes, but as cloud becomes, I mean, the thing is, cloud's almost being forced upon you. Even if you don't really want to get involved, it's still happening. And Dropbox is probably the widest use. So I think others will face the same problems that they're having right now. But that'll come in the future.
I was just a bit hyped off that.
Hacked off.
Yeah, I was just a bit hyped off that, you know, it was Dropbox that got hacked, and even though it was a fairly soft hack, if you know what I mean, it was more social. It was still me that had to change a unique password.
Yes, it was.
Because it wasn't an invitation to change. It wasn't a why don't you. It was a we've reset your password. You will have to change it. And I'm like,
hang on, you're part of network admin. You've done that plenty of times to people. So don't you don't you start moaning when it happens to you.
No.
Now you know how it feels. Anyway, on to a bit of a news update. The ongoing story, which actually, hopefully, this will be the last we will hear of this story. The Robin Hood Airport tweet. He's won his case.
Finally,
sanity has prevailed, and the judge overturned his case on the account of no one who was following his account would have actually taken any offence or malicious. They wouldn't have read it maliciously. So we can't really say that it was that had that intent when no one reading it would have reasonably taken that intent.
No, I mean if you'd lost this case, it would basically mean you couldn't joke on Twitter.
It wasn't a very good joke, but that's what the judge said. Didn't have to just because it was a bad joke and in bad taste doesn't mean it wasn't a joke.
No. Yeah.
So anyway, fingers crossed that will be the last we hear of this. We are done with Robin Hood Airport and the chap, which I can't remember his blooming name, which is a bit rude. Paul Chambers. There we go. Sticking with Twitter, though, we've also seen that people have been saying stuff on Twitter and it's been getting them in trouble. Starting with a guy called Guy Adams, who'd been tweeting about his annoyance with NBC's decision to time delay the Olympics in America.
It sounds awful. I mean, the time delayed the opening ceremony because they wanted more viewers at night.
I haven't really been keeping up with this story. So basically, NBC, you can't watch it live.
No, NBC have got exclusive rights in America. You can't watch it live. Right. You can't. If you want to watch a stream, you need to have an NBC account. It's a whole horrible, you know, state of affairs. This is the first proper Olympics where there's, you know, you've got Twitter. And I think Twitter was just taken off probably at the last Olympics. This is the one where all the athletes have it. Everybody's,
so people are finding out stuff before and they're getting pissed off.
Yeah. Right? You know, so same with the opening ceremony. I mean, everybody's talking about the opening ceremony apart from those in America. And they're having
because
to
they
wait.
Can't watch it. So yeah, time delay is fine on a repeat. You want to have it live as well, don't you?
So there was a whole load of NBC fails, and where this got interesting was this chap Guy Adams actually put the corporate work email address of the head of NBC and said, complain to this guy. So this was NBC executive Gary Zenkel. A couple of days later, Guy Adams was his Twitter account was suspended.
He was made invisible.
He was.
He was disappeared.
Which obviously caused consternation. What was Twitter to their credit, put him back online after a couple of days, and after a very quick investigation, actually put up a very public post about their whole how they trust people, what's their safety measures, etc. They got a complaint in to their safety team. And it was that this email address, which had been classified as private because it was corporate, had been made public. And hence, if you look at their terms and conditions, seemingly you're not allowed to do that. So that's why I took the account offline. The bit that Twitter are disappointed in is that they've got a corporate deal with NBC all around their Olympic portal. And it was other members of Twitter's team had suggested to NBC that they should lodge the complaint. Those Twitter staff members didn't let the trust and safety side of the business know that they'd encourage this. So that's what Twitter are saying. It still seems a bit whiffy because it was the speed to get taken off. And I know other people, I mean, there's a whole host of tweets have now come out of like, hold on, this guy's threatened to murder me, he's threatened to rape me, he's done this and that. I've asked you to take him offline, you've done nothing, absolutely nothing.
So we're not saying that Twitter's outside their rights to do what they did. They are inside their rights if you look at the terms and conditions that no one ever looks at.
Yep.
It's the kind of murkiness of it, and like you say, it's the standards, and you can't possibly censor everything. So unfortunately, it's the people with the money who get the censorship applied. That's a sad state of affairs, but that's how it is, really. Especially when you have this other guy on Twitter who's hit the news because he basically abused Tom Daley not long after, and then there was a whole stream of backlash and counter-clashing resulting in this guy actually getting arrested for his actions and investigated. And I think that's ongoing, whether anything will happen or whether it will just storm in a teacup.
I think he's been cautioned, but he's now back on Twitter. If you see the guy's Twitter stream, he's a horrible, horrible character. But then he's 17-year-old, and
young guys and young people today, they're growing up in a very different world, and that kind of character is not exposed.
No, to his Twitter stream was revolting.
It was horrible, and there's something seriously going wrong there, I guess, is my very comfortable position judgment coming down on you. But nevertheless, it's not very nice.
Uncle Chris.
Yeah, yes, it's not, doesn't seem like a very nice character, but nevertheless, there are plenty of very, not nice characters that don't get chopped to bits. But then again, say they're living in this different world that they're going to have to get used to living in. And we're not used to it, but I think we're, just a bit older and wiser.
And the thing is that some people are semi-defending him. I mean, the one comment, the comment that the Daily retweeted was that he'd been saying, "You let your dad down, I hope you know that." And this guy says he didn't know that his father had died. But he also talked about, "I'm going to come around and drown you, I'm going to come and do this, I'm going to come and do that, I'm going to come and..." There was other ones that he was threatening, as people were, were saying, "You can't see it," he said, "I'll come and stab you." And it's like, this is just a 17-year-old, but still, there's got to be some sort of recognition of, you need to know what you're doing. You need to take responsibility for it.
Exactly, you've got to take responsibility. And unfortunately, the internet, you never used to have to be responsible for your actions. And nowadays, you've just got to notice the fact that you are becoming more and more responsible for your actions online. And people have got to get used to it. Unfortunately, some people should get used to it and probably grow up a bit. Anyway, there we go.
Talk about responsibility. How dare you disrupt my cycling coverage last week? How dare you?
Yes. So Twitter's actually been blamed for our TV coverage of the road race for the men's and women's being not its lack of time interval updates. Apparently, the little GPS transmitters which tell you how big the gaps are and then get transmitted through the broadcast up to the commentators, apparently they couldn't get their data through because everyone was on Twitter, including me. Lots of people questioned that statement, especially as there were quite a few people actually watching the live BBC coverage on their smartphones and their iPads all along the streets, which probably had more to do with it than Twitter did. But nevertheless, apparently they couldn't get their timings through because the data network was jammed. And O2 have come out and said that's pretty much, there were so many people around Boxer. I mean, there were hundreds of thousands of people, and as we've talked about, you don't get a data connection when there's that many people, so having to rely on the same data network as everyone else is never going to work.
It seemed a bit of a kind of naive thought that we're going to have all these people here and surely we won't have a problem.
I think it's a new world problem, isn't it? I think this problem probably wasn't around at the last Olympics. But next Olympics, they'll probably do something that caters for it.
And you were obviously there, so you, I don't know if you were watching the stream from BBC at the time.
No, but I saw other people doing it, and I just thought, I won't bother trying.
It wasn't so much that. The commentators just wanted to shoot. So yes, they don't have the time, and they kept on apologising. But I'm sitting there, and I had my iPhone in my hand, and all you had to do was, as the first, you know, the first group of 30 go through, start the clock, and then when the camera cuts to the next one, when they get to the same place, all right, they're still 50 seconds behind. It's not rocket science. It wasn't precise, but you kind of knew.
I think they ended up doing that certainly for the women's race.
They did for the women's.
And it's not the end of the world anyway, because it's kind of, road racing's supposed to be a bit unknown and a bit, it's only the modern day that we know down to the second all the time what the gaps are. And actually having a bit of unknown got a bit of tension there. And okay, we didn't win it in the end, but we certainly felt the tension.
Is it Hugh Porter that is a commentator?
I dislike Hugh Porter, I'm afraid.
Basically, Murray gave up when he was getting old. And that's all I'm going to say. He's not the best.
He's really not, unfortunately.
No, I mean, today he was shouting about Olympic records and all sorts. And it's like, calm down.
He's
old.
Yeah, let's not say anymore because it's not fair, because he's very good at it and he's probably a lot better than we would ever be at stuff like that.
You've never done it, so you don't know.
Microsoft launch outlook.com. And basically, this all sounds very exciting. So an online email service. But it does sound rather like their Hotmail service, which until recently used to be Hotmail and now has suddenly redirected to outlook.com. So I don't know whether to be excited about this or not, really, but it's quite impressive as a bit of kit. But it looks different. It looks like it's gone down their kind of metro look. But effectively, it is an online inbox, so it's pretty much Hotmail. Any comments?
It looked clean. I actually preferred it to Outlook, you know, the actual Metro desktop version of Outlook screenshots. Yeah. It looked far better than that. They seem to be doing some, it looks like they are trying to do, there's a little app in the Mac called Cobook. Is it Cobook? Oh, have I just said that wrong? He says looking for his Cobook, which he can't find because it's not running. Yeah, it's Cobook. Which kind of takes your address book and links it to LinkedIn and Facebook and brings in your photos, etc. And they seem to be doing that with the contact side of things, so linking it to Twitter, Facebook, Gmail, LinkedIn, and giving you a more what they say is that they'll keep your address book up to date. Certainly services I've said they'll do that in the past basically lose all my information. So if they manage to crack that, that'll be a big tick.
So yeah, so you can go to their people tab basically, and you've got Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Twitter, and actually import option as well.
So the top integrating Skype, which obviously they've bought it, so they need to do something with Skype. So I guess that makes sense. It just feels a bit of a reskin really, and I wrote it in, and I had to put Joker in the show notes just in case you thought that I'd lifted this from elsewhere. But Hotmail is much more aligned, so Microsoft had to go with a more trusted brand like Outlook. And Outlook doesn't jump out to me as a trusted brand at all. It just seems a bit strange. And if you've got a Hotmail address, you can now have an Outlook address. And it's a bit like Apple with
cheesyuk@outlook.com.
It's a bit like Apple with you did have mac.com and it went to me.com, and we now have iCloud.com as well. It's just like, how many times are you going to do this?
No, but they're going to Google. We sort of congratulate Google on bringing everything in line and giving everything a constant look and feel, that nice clean interface. Microsoft are following along and doing a similar thing. So this all then aligns with Windows 8. And like I say, these web apps and looking more and more, you know, when you use them like proper desktop apps. And
they are, no, definitely.
And this will look, I'm sure, look very good when you're using it online, and because it's just what you're used to, basically.
So. And Windows 8 is RTM'd. The last 4 months of the year are really...
They're bonkers busy, aren't they? They're doing a heck of a lot. They've got everything under control is another matter, isn't it?
Well, they confirmed that the Surface is going to come out at the end of October as well.
Wow.
Which they did say it would be out around the same time as the Windows 8 launch. It will be the same, I think it's the same date or the same week. And they've not confirmed it, but seemingly Office is now set for November. So it's...
That shows the size of the company, isn't it? That you can actually even just do all that.
Well, there's a whole load of new Exchange upgrades and it's mental, absolutely mental. So a really big, I don't know, is this the last throw of the dice? You know, for something like, no, I don't mean for Microsoft, I mean for something like Balmer. know, if this...
Or maybe for him, yeah.
You know, there's a lot riding on Windows 8 because it, there's people starting to talk about it as a Vista, and that XP was good enough and Vista didn't catch on, and 7's excellent and is probably not going to make people move to 8.
It's funny, actually, after all the initial kind of congratulatory things, all Windows 8's really, really nice. You do hear now the kind of, I guess as people have used it more, they're kind of saying, I don't really understand their strategy still. Yep. I thought it would become more clear, but it's not, where they've got this Windows 8 with the sort of the skin over the top, plus you've got the kind of tablety tablets using ARM that don't have Windows underneath. They just have the Metro interface, and it's... people are saying I don't really get it now. I thought I would might do eventually. I'm having, I say I can't really comment too much because I've only used it very, very briefly, and I've not used it in any kind of significant way.
And I'm
way.
The same. And I was just using it purely of nosiness more than anything else. Yeah. I'll never use that. You know, I'll never use it in anger really. I think the people that I know that are still on Windows are still basically gamers. And I know is it Valve and BioWare came out and said Windows 8 is a train wreck for the games industry. They were right. Very critical, so it'll be interesting. The next 3-4 months are going to be very interesting, because if Windows 8 is going to dent games, and I don't know the context, I don't know where, you know, what the issues were that these guys had, but that's a big market to be on.
Definitely. Another relaunch. We've had Dig have come up with their new site. So we talked about Dig a while back, that they'd been bought out and they were going to go back to basics, and they've released the site now. So if you go to dig.com, much, much simpler. You can't comment anymore. It's just about voting up and down content, basically. Whether, you know, I guess the whole point is you have to have Dig integration on all these sites, and once people get all the new stuff hooked into their WordPress blogs and stuff, I'm sure you'll see content.
Also, they are hooking into Facebook and Twitter as well. You know, so you are seeing content being, you know, that I've got a lot of Facebook likes, for example, and retweets. You know, so some of these are picking up. It's interesting. I mean, that top story, I'm just on it just now. The top story just now has got 1,000 Facebook likes, 67 tweets, and only 14, you know, votes from Dig.
So it's counting all over the place. Okay, well, so there you go. So, worth having a look at, keeping an eye and see whether you get any more content discovery. And see whether they've done their job. Apple have bought Authentic, which doesn't sound exciting because Apple buys lots of things, but it comes hot on the heels with all their global patent wars, because Samsung had just signed a deal with Authentic, I guess, to use their technology. And as we know, Apple don't like Samsung in any particular way or any way at all. And so them buying Authentic for $356 million, which in Apple terms is sneeze money.
It was 3 days' profit.
Yeah, so 3 days, and they can screw up a whole contract that's obviously been worked on for a while now.
And, I mean, Authentic is all about fingerprint and security. So...
I mean, that thing is, that is a company specifically using their market dominance.
Mm.
To screw up another part of the company, not just in the legal terms, but actually physically.
Well, we need to understand, because nothing's come out since, you know, nothing's been released since then that says, by the way, this deal's now off the table or whatever.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying it could be because Apple want to get into this market, because obviously one of the big reasons that Apple is being... is not taken on by corporate companies because they don't offer the same security features or perceived or whatever.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, exactly. So Authentic might be a route into them being able to do that. So this could be coincidental, but perhaps it's not. Anyway. Our Lords have been looking forward.
Yeah,
Lords have been a leaping,
and maybe they do this all the time and they're just genuinely...
We just don't notice.
Just generally ignored, but... But there's a couple of stories came out just at the end of July, and I thought they were quite interesting.
They do sometimes come out with good stuff. Yeah. Has to be said.
Basically, the first one was all about broadband, and it says the government's doing a big push at the moment, you know, so all about, I think it's for 2015, you know, that we should all have fast broadband and everybody should have a minimum of 2 megabits per second. Which,
they want to get most people on like 24 megabytes per second,
yep.
And then but everyone at a minimum of 2.
But the Lords have said, not good enough. They are not being bold enough. And if you look at the being basically each year, they're saying that we are consuming, you know, we need double what we had the previous year to keep up, you know, with our demands.
They're saying what we've kind of said straight away, which is you can see why they've gone low because the money involved to do it. But nevertheless, they're nowhere near high enough to actually keep up with what's going to go on.
No. And the example they were given by 2015, you know, if you're a home worker or for families raising teenagers that they're doing a homework, watching video, using Skype, you know, all the things that we kind of do now that as it starts to penetrate out to more people, they are damn right. That 2 megabits is far from enough.
No, and when you've got three computers all looking at different channels on iPlayer or whatever, or UView, however you want, you know, you want to do it, TV catch up, that's it, done by a long shot. You can't do anything like that with 2 megabytes per second. Megabits per second.
Yeah, I've been seeing the wrong thing the whole thing.
I'm rubbish.
But,
yeah,
we're both rubbish. But UView needs 3 as a minimum, which I didn't know.
Yeah, so already the kind of TV viewing minimum is increasing. Without doing anything, just because quality goes up as much as anything. But yeah, so basically they're talking a lot of sense, and they're also saying how really what we should be planning on doing is getting rid of all our over the air spectrum use by TV channels and shoving it all down the wires. And they're saying we're nowhere near being able to do that. And they're saying it's not something we actually want to, you know, we need to be able to do in the next couple of years. But we should be thinking medium to long term that is what we want to do. So then we can free up all that spectrum for data and phones and over the air data networks, which I hadn't really thought about. And we've all been asking for TV down the wire, I guess. And they're saying, well, we need it to be able to keep up with all these other bits as well.
And I'd stuck in a little Steve Jobs quote at the bottom. Skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it's been.
That's, very wise that man was too.
Yeah, but that's what this kind of reminded me of.
You know, yeah, totally. 100%.
Broadband's not enough, and while we're at it, put TV over it.
Problem is, it's easy to say these things. It's harder to actually find the money and deviate it from somewhere else, basically. And that's the whole issue, isn't it? You got to find a balance, and I guess the Lords are saying you haven't got that balance quite right.
No.
Nokia, they're saved. If anything's going to save them, this product will. They've released a new product that they just snuck this out. We didn't know anything about it, did we?
No, and it's I don't know about you. I might get some.
Oh, I might pick one up. So this is the new Nokia Lumia 900 pink nail polish edition.
Wow.
Go get it.
It's kept the tradition of like making the longest product titles in the world.
Yeah, I shortened that somewhat.
Yeah. So seemingly this is Nokia's solution to people not buying Lumia 900s. And you know what's missing? Matching nail polish. So
it's a shocking pink phone with a shocking pink nail polish bottle. Woo!
Yeah, woo.
I'm not sure anything else needs to be said about that, but I'm sure that will at least increase their sales by one.
I'm not even sure.
No, okay, fair enough. Anyway, that is the end of our news this week. However, we have a pick. First time in a while. And it is Ian's pick. Go for it.
My pick this week. Very topical. It's a pick for the Mac. And it's called Mountain Tweaks.
Mountain Tweaks.
The best name ever. Free app. Very small, quick download. But basically, it should toggle off a whole lot of different hidden features within Mountain Lion and annoyances. So things like you can turn AirDrop on your old hardware, for example. Some people hate the black and white colours in the Finder. Turn it on, you can make it coloured. It disables many animations. Some of the animations are nice, but over time, you know, the first time you see it, you think, oh, that's sweet. Second time, still
the
quite sweet.
It's just wasting time.
10th time, it's like, I just want to get the job done. So you can turn a lot of these off and do things like Spotlight. I don't use it, so remove it.
It's
just a little annoyances.
Most of these tweaks, software tweakers, they're kind of, they're just getting rid of the new features that have been added in the latest edition, aren't they? I don't want these new things. Get rid of them.
Well, the one for me is take leather away from contacts and calendar.
Oh, God, can it do that?
Yeah.
Excellent. I saw there was something else that came out with leather on it. I don't know if it's Reminders or something.
Oh, Reminders. I'm not sure if it's leather or some sort of faux plastic. It's,
whatever. It's, it needs to go.
It's guff. It's absolute guff. So, yeah, Mountain Tweaks. The link's in the show notes. I might even put it on the website.
There you go. Good stuff. Thank you very much. That is the end of our email. Email? What am I talking about? It's clearly time for us to sign off. It is later than normal. If you want to find out more about us, you
it's time can. For it. Well, it's time for the email.
It is time for email. info@digitaloutbox.com. You can email us on that address. You can look up more on our website, digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK. And Ian, where can we find you?
My website is iand.net, and I'm on Twitter too. I'm a sweeper.
I'm all embarrassed, but I'm going to sign off. So we will talk at you next week. See ya.
Ta-da. Yeah, and it was interesting that it was the and I'm trying to remember the whole legal system down south. It was the forget it. I can't remember. It's too late. There was a. It was
bringing
the,
you tech news. Well,
the bit that I'm just going to give up. Sod it. I'll cut all that out.
Brilliant.